ba 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 hip in the lip ba 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 hip in the lip yes 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 welcome from unknown parts of metropolitan New York City. I am the hip and this is the lip.
Good evening, everybody, all of you out there, Hip and the Lip Nation, welcome.
It is a very exciting time to be live talking about the New York Islanders post-regular season.
Yeah, we are on the cusp of the playoffs. In a couple of days, we will be witnessing the Islanders take on the Florida Panthers in game number one in Sunrise, Florida. Maybe to the chagrin of some out there that may have preferred Pittsburgh, although I think the majority were happy for Florida. But just in the due time, we're going to be getting this underway.
That's right. The game one is Thursday night, the 14th, April 14th. And, you know, as we close the chapter on this 2015-2016 National Hockey League regular season, it's been a up and down ride for New York Islander fans, but a nice surge there towards the end to really get us amped up. So we're going to get into a playoff preview of the series against the Florida Panthers in round one. We're going to have a scouting report of the Florida Panthers and get into some of the players to watch for, as the Islanders are going to take them on at least four times, maybe only four times if you're an extreme pessimist or optimist. But before we go there, we have a pleasant surprise for you. So we have a very special guest joining us tonight. In fact, right now, this is someone who I suspect has touched upon any Islander fan who watches the telecasts on MSG. Maybe even the sports channel going back a number of years. And yet this is someone who I believe is an unsung hero of sorts. He's had a profound impact on the New York Islander fan game-watching experience for decades. That's right, folks, decades. So we introduce the official statistician for the New York Islanders on MSG Network, Eric Hornick. Welcome to Hip and the Lip. How are you tonight?
I am very good, and thank you for that over-the-top introduction.
Well, your modest ways have come to the surface immediately. I think, you know, there's many Islander fans not in the know of your contributions, and we'll be sure to get into that, because I certainly, and I think the Lip agrees, we more than appreciate all your contributions to this organization, to the fan experience. And we have so many questions we want to ask you, in particular your thoughts on the team now and the upcoming playoff series against the Florida Panthers. But before we go there, just, you know, enlighten our listeners about your background, how you got involved with the Islanders, and your role today.
Well, I've been fortunate to be the statistician on Islander telecast, mainly home telecast, but every once in a while on the road, particularly in the New York area, which is one of the reasons I was certainly rooting for Islanders Rangers,
right,
since 1982. The first game I did for the Islanders on what was then Sports Channel, as you mentioned, was the first game of the 15-game winning streak. So I've always taken credit for that.
Really? Wow.
You know, when I talk with Butch about it, he just doesn't seem to think it really had any impact. But, you know, I'm not sure he's right about that. I grew up as an Islander fan, and I was a senior in high school when Jigs McDonald invited me to join the broadcasts. And 34 years later now, I've never left and really have no intention of leaving anytime soon, to be quite honest about it.
Wow. So did you know Jigs? Is that, the origin of your working with them?
Well, what happened was when Jigs came to New York, you know, most people, you know, have, even those who are a lot younger, you know, just have heard the stories that Jigs is the voice of the dynasty, you know, and all those, you know, wonderful teams, and,
sure,
and all that's true. But he wasn't the voice of the first Stanley Cup team. Jigs was the voice of the Atlanta Flames that season, their last year in Atlanta, before they moved to Calgary.
Right, I think I remember that, yeah.
And when Jigs came to New York for the 1979-80 season, for the 1980-81 season, I should say, I was a junior in high school at the time, and you know, I was always interested in broadcasting and, you know, started to, you know, went up in those days, much like today. You know, we used to broadcast out of the stands. So it was very easy for me to go up and talk to him. And I got to talking to him on numerous occasions and had a chance to, when the playoffs came, I kind of said, well, you know what? I know, because I had basically seen every playoff game the team had played, certainly over the last number of years, and he hadn't been in the area, I figured I had some knowledge that I could share. And he was very appreciative of it. And the next summer, he actually tried to get me a job with the Islanders. At the time, the Islanders had a paid person in their media department called their team statistician. And as the story goes, I interviewed for that job in the summer of 1981, I guess it would have been, summer before my senior year of high school, and met with the media relations people, and they kind of realized that, yeah, this guy really knows what he's talking about. And they mentioned it to Bill Torrey, who was then the general manager, and Bill Torrey actually called my mother. And he was like, do you know where your son was today? He was like, yeah, he was with the Islanders. He's like, he's still in high school, right? It was like, yeah, he's still in high school, but he, you know, he goes to a lot of games and knows a lot about the team, et cetera. He's like, yeah, that's what they told me, but we don't think we can hire someone who's still in high school. Their loss. It all worked out, you know, very nicely, you know, over the years, and I've had a chance, you know, to be part of Islander television, in my own small way for the last, you know, 34 years.
Wow. Well, tell us about your evolution, like in your role. I mean, when you started, you know, with the team in 82, you know, working the broadcast with Jigs, and it was Eddie, right? Eddie was already doing it with Jigs at that point, right?
Yeah. Okay. Eddie actually helped bring Jigs to New York. Eddie knew Jigs. So when they were looking for a replacement for Steve Albert, I guess it was at the time, and Eddie knew of Jigs, and he also knew that Jigs was probably not going to go to Calgary with the Flames.
Okay.
He brought Jigs into New York, and I worked with Eddie and Jigs together for 15 years, or 14 of the 15 years that Jigs was here.
Right.
In the early days, I really just helped the broadcasters. It was a different role. Now I'm in constant communication with our truck. There's a large group of men and women who, you know, help get our games on the air. And I'm telling you, you know, I have the fun part. I show up, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before the game, you know, and look for, you know, nuggets to make our broadcast just a little bit better.
Sure.
You know, some of the people in our truck, you know, they're there 8-10 hours before the game. You know, very long days. It's, you know, the world of sports television is glamorous when you see it on television.
Right,
behind the scenes, it can be a very difficult job. Mm-hmm. And I have all the respect in the world, for our crew. And, you know, I think one of the reasons I've lasted so long is I never had one of those jobs. But in those days, I would basically just sit with, you know, Jigs and Eddie and just hand them little pieces of information. And at the time, usually using, you know, scrap pieces of paper. And then, you know, over time, you know, back, come around 1993 or so, which that would be a pretty good year for the Islanders, if I recall.
Yep. Yeah.
Jig said to me, you know, it's like, you know, we have all these nuggets that we can never seem to get in. Let's put them into a package, and we'll put them in the postgame show. And that was really the origination of the skinny. Aired as part of our postgame shows for the last couple of, you know, for a couple of years in the mid-90s, you know, when Jigs was still here, mm-hmm. You know, as the regular voice of the Islanders. And then when I started talking as my, you know, I fast forward 10 years, Skinny actually existed on the Islander website the year before the NHL lockout, you know, 304. Season, the Skinny existed, and the next year was lost to the lockout. And when the lockout came about, different people were in charge of PR at the time, and you know, for a list, various list of reasons, the Skinny disappeared, and then it came back for, I guess, John Tavares's second season in the NHL. So this is the, you know, the sixth year that the Skinny has appeared after every game on the Islander website. I pride myself on missing almost no games. I haven't missed any this year, knock on wood. And really over the last, 6 years, it's been there the morning after every game, win, lose, overtime loss, or shootout loss too. And one of the things it does is it helps me in preparation for our broadcast, because now I have this whole mailing list of people on our broadcast. They all receive the information as I send it out, so that they have information, from that, and helps me kind of prepare for the next game because I've already done some of the research. So it works, in both, corners. Another way things have changed over the years is about, a long time ago now, I decided that, papers weren't the right thing to do, and I started using whiteboards. And they get joked about on the air every once in a while. And one of the things it does is just allows me to communicate a lot of information quickly. And it's the same kind of whiteboard you might hang outside your dorm room, or something like that.
Right.
I started with one. I now use four. And depending on the type of game, there are times that all four are going with various information. Because sometimes, something will come up in the broadcast, and then, there'll be a key play, and, the announcers will get off that point, but they'll want to get back to it, and I'll have that information ready for them if need be. Another big way things have changed is that it used to be when the Islanders were on the road, I'd sit and watch the game. Now when the Islanders are on the road, and I do sit and watch the game, but I am also in constant communication with our truck and, with Howie or whoever happens to be doing the game that night, via text. And of course those options didn't exist, back when I started in 1982.
Sure. So you actually will text them, they'll be sending text messages to Howie and Butch during the game, at least when they're on the road.
Right. So if they're, they'll mention something that they're like, and I could just tell from Howie's tone, he doesn't have to, sometimes he'll actually ask on the air. It's like, well, I hope Eric is watching the game tonight, because he'll be at the ball, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes, it's been a long time, I'm trying to remember, Butch, was it Trotsky or Bossy? Who did the, and Butch is like, I don't remember, Howie. And, I'll send him a text. It's like,
that's your cue, yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a text with just a number, 19, or, something, Trots, and he knows I'm watching the game, so he knows, that I'm kind of following along with the conversation, and that's really what it is. So, when I'm at a game, I'm, feeding them information, and anything that gets into the broadcast graphically in terms of, the scoring, who's the penalty on, the power play, how's it, a lot of the things like that. And in recent years, even more so, what we call the bug, which is the little thing that appears at the top of your screen. Our bug operator is also on with me, so there'll be times I'll just be giving him information, because some information is just easier to convey in text on the screen than it is for Howie to read it. So we've been able to do that, and that gets the information to where we want it to get to, which is the audience.
So you mentioned the skinny before, and for the listeners out there who haven't had the pleasure of checking out this incredible blog with endless Islander statistics, www.nyiskinny.com, correct?
That is correct. And the skinny gets posted there before it actually hits the Islander website, because, when I hit send, it hits my blog, and then, I send it to the team at the same time. And depending, sometimes they post it that night, sometimes not the next morning. But the skinny is usually, it's a late-night creature. It very often comes out around midnight, sometimes even later. But you can always find it at exactly 7:11 in the morning, the night after my Islander game.
And, it helps folks in ways you may not have originally anticipated, as the hip and the lip here have cited some statistics from your skinny blog on our podcast. So it's just a wonderful way to, you see, the game of hockey just goes so fast, at least for me when I watch it. It's like you can't capture everything as it's happening in real time, and I think the Lip can attest to that. He often goes back and watches the games on DVR, and then to complement that with all the statistics really, I think, creates a great fan experience.
you know, we appreciate you watching the games twice. It's good for ratings.
They can use that, can't they?
Yeah, with well, the stats that you have up there, I mean, I love the historical context and, you know, Howie's great, you know, at delivering, you know, just those tidbits and nuggets of information that, you know, I'm sure you're supplying it with most of the, you know, not all. And, you know, someone who really appreciates the history, even though I wasn't alive for the Cup years, it's, for me, it really enhances the experience, the, you know, just the broadcast itself and, you know, just throughout, you know, watching the game. So and the skinny is just incredible. Just going down, like scrolling down and seeing all of these stats and you know, just to give you like different perspectives on what you just watch in terms of the game and you know, this whether this be the that particular game, the season, whatever. So really is phenomenal, and we definitely encourage all of our listeners to check it out. It's really is incredible.
So
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so let's talk about this first round upcoming playoff series against the Florida Panthers. So, you know, many fans, and not necessarily most fans, but many fans, just by observing social media, Twitter, you know, IslanderMania.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that forum. Nevertheless, there were a lot of fans that seemed to prefer the team to sit their stars after they clinched the playoff berth. You know, they didn't really against the Rangers, but, you know, subsequent to that game, the last two, in order to avoid facing the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. And so, look, I get the schools of thought. What I'm curious to know, statistically speaking, do you think the Islanders may actually match up better against the Panthers given the surge of the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, clearly the Penguins are the, you know, the hottest team in the NHL and have been for the last month. So if you think that avoiding them, you know, is a good idea for that reason, it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue that. But, the Florida Panthers are our first-place team. So anyone that thinks that right. The Islanders are just going to waltz into the second round of the playoffs because they're playing Florida, and then are going to waltz into the Eastern Conference Finals because they're playing either Tampa or Detroit if they win – that to me, that's just silly. Do they have the potential to win both series and get there? Yeah, I think they do. I really do. And could it be a much easier road than if they had, you know, if they had finished fourth and had to go through Pittsburgh and then either, probably Pittsburgh and Washington, for example?
Right.
Yes, absolutely. But the Florida Panthers gave the Islanders, fits in the regular season. They really should have swept the Islanders. You know, there was a 3-goal third period. One of the, you know, great games of the season at Barclays in terms of, you know, how it ended. That 3-goal third period about 3 weeks ago against the Panthers.
Yeah, sure. I was there, and actually the atmosphere was great when they took the lead there. Yeah.
It's funny. I can remember talking with Howie as we were going off the air, and I said to him, it's like, that third period, as that third period was developing, was really the first time that Barclays felt like the Coliseum to me.
I agree.
It was really, really loud in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, and it really felt like the Coliseum to me. And, like everyone else, I'm very curious to see what the building sounds like at about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock on this coming Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that the Barclays has, and I was at that game, the Florida game, and, I went to a handful of games this year, as did the Hip, I've been going to games since, the early 90s, and I was there for a few playoff games in 93, which, was an incredible experience. I was also there for Game 6 in 2002 against Toronto, and then the Hip and I were at Game 4 against the Penguins in 2013. Do you think that the Barclays could replicate the Coliseum in terms of the noise, in terms of the atmosphere, and just what we were all used to and just absolutely loved about the Coliseum? Do you think that the building has it in it, or do you not? I guess just from your experience in that building, do you think it's not feasible?
Well, I think it's I think you got to give it a chance first of all, I think one of the things that it's hard. There are so many things that are different about it, and I'm not talking about the configuration of the building, just how people get to the games, and it used to be hours outside, I know people would get you know, for an 8 o'clock playoff, that game was being played on Long Island next Sunday. People would be in the Coliseum parking lot at noon if they could get in there, or even earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just not, you know, that's just not possible. But in terms of, you know, in terms of the atmosphere within the building, you know, we saw late in the regular season the noise level start to pick up, and that game in particular was one that I really noticed. And there were a couple others where you started to see it pick up. You didn't see it this past weekend, but that was you know, not the fans' fault. It was just the nature of
product
of the game.
Right.
You know, so you know, I think you got to let it play out and see. And once it once it plays out, we'll try to figure out how loud it's going to be. You know, part of it will be, you know, it's a late starting Sunday game. Those tend to be a little bit raucous. So we'll see. One of the differences obviously is that there are, you know, in terms of fans how they're getting to the games. You know, that's certainly a difference. So, I'm hoping the atmosphere will be, you know, electric, and, you know, certainly will be a home ice advantage for the Islanders.
Well, the Hip and Lip will be contributing to the raucous crowd these upcoming playoff games. We're really excited to go. And, you know, I think part of at least from my observations of being in the stands at the games of the Barclays versus Nassau Coliseum, look, because of where it's located and it has so much more access to, you know, young professionals in the New York City metropolitan area, there were just games where you could tell that people went because it was convenient and the tickets were cheap and, hey, let's go to a hockey game and, you know, drink some beer and eat some Boomer and Carton Grill and, you know, barely pay attention to the game. You know, Nassau Coliseum, you had to drive there. It's a specific destination. And I think, you know, people going there were really going because they actually wanted to watch the game. Now, look, there's exceptions to that, but I think that, look, and it's not just specific to the Islanders. The watching Brooklyn Nets games at Barclays, same thing. Now, as we're getting to the postseason and the ticket demand is obviously up and it's an exciting series, I'm optimistic and we'll do our best to contribute.
Yes, I think, you know, and I think it should be an exciting atmosphere. Particularly if they come home either up 2-0 or even 1-1. You know, they come home down 2-0, you may see a more show me type crowd, meaning that the crowd will be kind of waiting to see what happens.
Right.
You know, let's face it, there are going to be a lot of people in that audience who've never seen them win a playoff series. There are going to be a lot of people in that audience who have never been alive for them to be a playoff series, to win a playoff series, let alone attend one. But on the other hand, there's a lot of those same people who weren't alive the last time the Florida Panthers won a playoff series either.
Years for them too.
Yeah, this is the first time in the history of the NHL that two teams that have gone this long without a playoff series win will face each other. And obviously, sometime in the next 2 weeks, one of them is going to get a playoff series win.
The skinny doesn't take a night off with his Nuggets, does he?
No, I definitely try not to.
Yeah, well, as a statistician, I mean, the stat that I've been yelling about that the Hip can attest to is that 23-year drought. I mean, you know, it's 33 years since they've won a cup, but the 23-year one, I mean, it's long enough. It's time to end it, and hopefully they can. I just want to ask you just quickly about advanced stats and, you know, being a statistician, and you've dealt with, you know, more traditional stats, and now we're in more of a, you know, advanced stat age. I mean, do you think that you know, gives a more accurate portrayal of a team, how good they are? Because advanced stats say the Florida Panthers may have overachieved this year, that they're not as good as their record. I mean, do you buy that? Do you agree with that? I mean, do you think that they give a better portrayal? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think some of the things you see with the advanced stats, and let me address it two ways. First, from a television perspective, advanced stats are sometimes very difficult to convey on television. Because you're trying to communicate to an audience, some of who would understand more than, you know, what you're saying because they've read up on it, but a lot of the audience may not have read up on it at all and may have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
And that's definitely one of the things, you know, one of the things we've, tried to do, over the last couple of years, and you know, this was somewhat of my urging, is we started showing shot attempts as part of our broadcast.
It's
basically, the NHL calls it shot attempts. It's basically Corsi. It's the same statistic. It includes the shots that go on goal, as well as the shots that go wide, as well as the shots that are blocked by your opponent.
Right.
And when you look at it, from that standpoint, very often I can tell you if the shots on goal are telling you one thing and the Corsi stats are telling you another, the Corsi stats are almost always right, particularly if the game is relatively close. There are some, there's some times when games get one-sided that the Corsi numbers tend to get a little bit out of whack as well. When the game is close, if the shots on goal are 7-6 and the shot attempts are 17-9, and sometimes you'll see, things like that, if you're in a situation like that, invariably that was a 2-1 type period, not a 50-50 type period.
Right, right. I guess the possession is what the advanced stack gurus will look at. That means that, this team that outshot the other team 17-9, or at least in their attempts, they had possession more of the puck. And I guess to them, it tells a more accurate picture as to what happened, as opposed to just looking at the shots on goal.
Right. And one of the reasons it's generally considered better, it's just a bigger number. Because it's a bigger number, it's less likely to have random variation, built into it. In terms of some of the advanced stats, I know one of the ones that we never use on television because it's a little bit difficult to explain are things like zone starts. One where you see the Islanders are pretty good. They finished the season just outside the top 10. They ended up 11th. They were probably in the top 10 before this weekend. And Florida was way down at 24. And
really?
When you look at the other teams that were towards the bottom of that statistic, which is also another possession type stat, here are the only teams that were below Florida. New Jersey didn't make the playoffs. Columbus. Nope. Colorado. They're golfing too. Buffalo, golfing. Edmonton, golfing, as soon as the snow is melted. Arizona, definitely golfing. And then Florida. And then above them is Calgary, and they're not in the playoffs either.
Wow,
The only other one that's close to them in terms of that stat that's in the playoffs is a pretty good team, and that's the St. Louis Blues. And while the Blues are towards the bottom of that stat, they're towards the very top in the share of shot attempts. So they're in the top 7 of that stat. And if you look at, if you look at the teams in that stat, here are the top teams. LA is by far and away number 1, which is why a lot of people think they could win the cup again this year. Pittsburgh, Dallas, Nashville, Anaheim, Tampa, St. Louis, Detroit. Stop me when I get to a team that's not in the playoffs. San Jose. And then Montreal is 10th, and they're the first of the teams that are not in the playoffs. The Islanders are right towards the middle of the pack in that statistic. They're actually slightly below the middle. They're 18th.
Yeah, right.
Florida is towards the bottom of the league in that stat as well.
Right.
So you see some of these things, and you say, I could kind of see that. What some people refer to as the luck stat. Which is basically shot percentage and save percentage combined.
Right. Yeah.
The NHL doesn't refer to it that, but that's the more generic name. The Rangers were number 1 in that statistic by a wide margin midway through the season.
Wow.
Before they came down to earth, that they were off the charts on that statistic. They still ended up the highest in the league in that statistic.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess you can blame Henrik Lundqvist in part for that. The Florida Panthers were 2nd on that stat.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that they were up there, too. I didn't know where their ranking was, but I saw they were up there.
Yeah. But, when you look at it, 5 of the top 17 teams and 7 of the top 9 teams in that statistic made the playoffs. Rangers, Florida, Washington, Tampa, the Islanders, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh, they all made the playoffs. Because you're not – if you're going to be really unlucky, the chances of you making the playoffs are infinitesimally small. You're down to, the 22nd team is the top, which is Nashville. They were the least lucky team based on how that stat is, interpreted, that actually made the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, hopefully the Islanders' PDO will be through the roof, and then they can apologize for it when they win the cup. Oh, sorry. Our shots seem that our pucks had eyes, the coach would say, or our goalie just got lucky, in stopping everything. But
yep, and I mean, you definitely see that with some of the teams that have won, in recent years, you will see statistics like that. Like in last year's playoffs, Chicago turned out to be second. They were just behind Anaheim. But all those teams were close. The unluckiest team was Detroit. They got knocked out in the first round.
Right, sure.
Well, we don't want to take up more of your time. We really appreciate you coming on and giving us more depth to that knowledge. And I'm sure, we could go on and on. And there's more and more to talk about, but you have a life, and we appreciate your time. And this is maybe a day or two to breathe for you. I don't know. But in any event, I just want to mention again, www.nyiskinny.com. And you can follow The Skinny on Twitter at ehornick, HORNICK. So thanks again so much for taking part in Hip and the Lip festivities.
It's my pleasure, and I hope everyone will be able to tune in. And just a quick reminder to all your listeners, the first round of the playoffs belong to the local broadcasters. Unless the game is on New York is Channel 4, all those games are available only on MSG. And the only possible game that would be on Channel 4 would be Game 6 of the Islander-Panther series. But the first 5 and Game 7 are definitely only available on MSG. You'll see listings that will tell you they're on CNBC and USA and NBCSN and yep. NHL Network.
The whole family.
but not in New York.
Right.
You can get you can get them nationally on those channels because every game is shown nationally. But if you want to see the Islanders or the Rangers, for that matter, the only place to see them in the first round is on MSG and MSG Plus.
Great.
All right. Well, we will definitely be watching. We look forward, and we're going to have our ears. We're going to try and listen for any tidbits that Howie throws out there. And even if he doesn't mention your name, I'm sure we'll be saying to ourselves, "Up, that must have came from Mr. Eric Hornick." So, again, thank you very much for doing this. We really appreciate you taking the time. I mean, you did a great job. I mean, thank you so much. Before we let you go, though, your prediction: Islanders, Panthers.
I'm not much in the way of predictions, but
let me
say this. There were a lot of complaints, in the Twitterverse about how come the Islanders and Panthers have to play, back-to-back games Thursday and Friday and 3 games in 4 nights. And you know what? I think that's a huge advantage for the Islanders.
Really?
I really do. The Florida Panthers have a 44-year-old star and a 37-year-old goaltender.
Right.
And I think, from those two things, I think it could be a huge advantage for the Islanders. And it could actually end up helping to decide the series.
And
I think the Islanders have a real good chance to win this series. So if you want to pick them, let's celebrate in Brooklyn. I'll take them in 6.
All right. Sounds good.
How fitting would it be if the Islanders' next player series win has Jaromír Jágr on the opposing team, just like he was back in 1993 in the last playoff series the Islanders won?
Yeah, you'll definitely see that as part of a theme in our broadcast of the first couple of games. But I get that.
Yeah, I'm sure you've already heard more than enough of it, so I'll throw it in there one more time for you. But thanks again, keep up the good work.
All right, thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, take care. All right, thanks again.
So there you have it, the Skinny, and a nice inside look on just a depth of knowledge of Islanders hockey, and hearing about his story and how he got involved. Really, really fascinating stuff. Wouldn't you say that, Lip?
Oh, I would. I mean, he was tremendous. I mean, he did a fantastic job there. I mean, gave so much great information. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed that as much as we did. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, in terms of what we were going to get into. Obviously, we had our questions for him, and, I wish we could have kept them on longer, but, I think we took up, enough of his time, but yeah, he was...
That was fun.
Yeah, he was tremendous. That was great.
Yep.
And hopefully everybody listening enjoyed it as much as we did.
Indeed. So, look, I think we need to get into the Florida Panthers. You know, you touched upon, look, you touched upon Yager, 44 years old, and the goalie, Luongo, I think his name is 37 years old. But, you know, I think we need to get our listeners amped for this upcoming game at BB&T Arena.
BB&T Arena.
I'm sure everyone knew that already, but just in case. Oh, I'm sorry, BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida, where the puck will drop. It's a 8 p.m. start on Thursday, April 14th. And so, you know, what is it about the Florida Panthers you want to share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, so, you know, since we signed off on our last podcast, you know, we were talking about who the Islanders' opponent may potentially be. And, of course, the Islanders, by losing in overtime on Saturday and then, you know, Jack benching half of their team on Sunday, ensured that it was going to be the Florida Panthers. And, you know, Ranger fans be damned. But, sorry, you get Pittsburgh, so enjoy. But the Panthers, look, I mean, the Panthers are not a pushover by any stretch. I mean, you heard Eric there talk about, you know, how they're towards the bottom of the league. You know, when he was talking about advanced stats, and it was something I was going to bring up. But you heard him, you know, give his break down there, and you know, just in, you know, terms again of the advanced statistics being down there and Corsi being up there in PDO, which again measures basically how lucky you are combining the shooting and save percentage. And people were pointing to that with this Florida Panthers team. I mean, look, they're very young. You know, despite Yager and Luongo, I mean, Yager being 44, the ageless wonder Jaromir Yager, who I go back to the early 90s watching him, you know, torture the Rangers and the Islanders too, but I enjoyed it when he tortured the Rangers in the playoffs. And then, of course, Islanders were able to knock off his Pittsburgh Penguins in 93, that stacked and loaded Pittsburgh Penguin team, which, of course, is the last time they won a playoff series. Roberto Luongo, a little connection to the Islanders in that he was a former first round draft pick, the number four overall pick that year, if I remember correctly, in 90. Seven. Wow. And then, of course, the Islander, yeah, and then the Islander former general manager, Mad Mike Milbury, sent him away in a deal to the Florida Panthers for, I think it was Oleg Kavasha, Mark Parrish, and maybe another guy in there, I forget. But, yep, so Luongo, very short-lived stay with the Islanders, eventually went to Vancouver, led that team to a cup final in 2011, I think it was, lost in seven games. To the Bruins that year. But this is a guy, Luongo, that has 60-something games of playoff experience. The Islanders starting goaltender Thomas Greiss has 41 minutes of playoff experience. And, you know, Jaromir Jagr has been in a zillion playoff games, you know, playoff points, goals. I mean, you know, he's done it all. He's been so many different places. Hasn't won a cup, I don't think, since Pittsburgh in 92. I don't think he's been on another
wow.
cup team since then, yeah.
Wow.
So he's, you know, looking to lead this very young Florida team. Again, other than Yager and Luongo, I mean, they boast a couple of very talented and dynamic 20-year-old players in Alexander Barkov and Aaron Ekblad. Aaron Ekblad is going to be a future Norris Trophy candidate that's given out to the best defenseman in the league. He is going to be a stud defenseman. Barkov is a big, skilled, talented forward, makes up part of that first line with Yager, who's 24 years his senior, as well as Jonathan Huberdeau, another former first-round pick of the Panthers, also a very dynamic young winger. They were, you know, Florida had 520 goal scorers, three, you know, those three I just mentioned scored 20 goals. Riley Smith was scored 20 goals for them as well. I think he came over in a trade from, I want to say Boston, I forget if it was last year. But, you know, a good young player as well. And then Vincent Trocheck, who was injured, and I don't think he's going to be playing. I think he has a fractured ankle, so he won't be playing in the first round, and that was a big loss. And Jaromir Jagr, you know, did not mince words when he was asked about his loss, you know, Trocheck, that is. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, it's not, you know, he didn't say, oh, next man up. Well, you know, we have other guys that could, you know, fill that role. I mean, he said it's a big loss. So Trocheck, I think he was their second line center, you know, as Jagr stated, a big loss for them. But, you know, young, dynamic. They, you know, boast, you know, pretty young defense as well. Willie Mitchell, who won a cup with the Kings a few years ago. I don't know if he's going to play in this series. I know he had a concussion. I don't know what his story is yet, if he's going to be playing in this series. Again, I mentioned Ekblad, who's a young I mean, he's a stud already, and watch out for him. He'll be paired, I think, with Brian Campbell, who's an older veteran defenseman who's also won a cup with the Blackhawks. You know, still can play even at an older age. I think he's got to be in his mid-30s, Campbell, but, you know, can still play. Him and Ekblad, my guess is that they'll be out on the ice against the Tavares unit, especially, you know, at home when they have the last change. Florida, look for that. You know, look for that. That's going to be a key matchup as Jack is going to try and keep you know, Tavares away from the 20-year-old defenseman Aaron Ekblad. But
who do you think the Islanders' first line is going to be? Who's going to be with Tavares?
I mean, my guess, if you ask me right now, he's not going to change it up from what he did the last few games. I think he's going to have Franz and Oposo flanking Tavares, and I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
I don't think at this point, I mean, he's tried out so many different line mates with Tavares, and I don't think at this point you're going to tinker.
JT was just named Player of the Week. So
was he?
Yeah.
I didn't even know
so
that.
He's on right. fire. I think he had 8 points in 3 games. Like, he's just playing, he's peaking at the right time. This is exactly what you want to see happen at this point in the season. We talk about it. How many times have we mentioned, you know, you get hot at the right time and you have the potential to make a deep run.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to need to – I mean, we didn't actually mention Andrews Lee, who's has
right.
a broken leg. And, you know, we came on to the air with our last podcast right after the Ranger game. And, you know, he had gotten hurt in that game, left. We
yep.
didn't know what the prognosis
right.
was. But now, of course, we've gotten the news, the very bad news, as Andrews Lee was really playing much, much better and, you know, just establishing his role as that net front presence, which now – you know, let's see how that first power play, you know, how they roll out that unit. Is it going to be Brock Nelson taking Lee's spot on that first unit, you know, on that first unit on the power play? Are they going to put Nelson in front of the net, which you've seen him do in the past? And he's, you know, he's had a little bit of success there, scoring goals in front of the net. Will they do that? You know, are they going to have a completely different approach? Are they going to run it through their back end there with Letty? And let's see if Ryan Pulock gets in the lineup, if
Please.
Jack has any bright ideas
Please.
And decides to pull a Marty Riesner, as Islander fans remember Marty Riesner getting put into game one against Pittsburgh in 2013. I almost drove off the road when I heard that. I was driving back from work. Marty Riesner was a terrible fourth line center and justified his presence in the lineup because he had experience. But hopefully it's Ryan Pulock paired with Hickey. Travis Hamonic is skating. Let's all hope that he will be ready for game one. We all know he'll be back at some point in the series. We'll see if he's back for game one. Hopefully he is. He'll be drawing the assignment of Jágr, Huberdeau, and Barkov. My guess is he'll be paired with Letty Hamonic, so we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, I mean, just going back to what you're saying about Tavares, I mean, this is – you know, this is the time of year that you ask your superstar player to really elevate his game. And, you know, they're going to – again, my guess is they're going to put Franz and Kyle with them. And hopefully, you know, we get to see the Kyle Oposo from 2013 when he was just, you know, played some of the best hockey, if not the best hockey of his career. I mean, he was truly beast mode, you know, bull in a china shop, whatever nickname you want to give him in that series against Pittsburgh.
And I imagine we'll see the default fourth line – back out there,
yeah,
right?
Probably. I don't think you're going to see a change there. I mean, we'll see what – I mean, Mikhail Grabowski is anybody's guess right now if he's going to be back at some point in the series. My guess is he's not going to be back for game one, you know, barring something completely unforeseen. But, you know, it's just a question of what Jack decides to do with the lineup. Is Bernier going to play? You know, is Steve Bernier going to play? You know, will he go on to the fourth line, and will they take, you know, either Martin or Clutterbuck off? I mean, probably Clutterbuck that they would take off that line, or does he put Bernier somewhere else? You know, we'll see what happens there. But my guess is they'll keep that fourth line intact.
Right. So, as the Skinny mentioned, the Islanders and Panthers play back to back on Thursday and Friday nights. The only playoff series in the first round that has any back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken. And it comes down to a scheduling issue from the...
Yep, both teams. Both
right,
teams
both
have
teams
scheduling
involved,
issues.
So it is what it is. But, you know, we're excited to go Sunday night at Barclays, the first ever New York Islanders playoff game at Barclays. And, you know, I hope the Skinny's right on the atmosphere. It's Sunday night, so... plenty of time to get to pregame for it. And
we'll have plenty of time, and we're gonna have to see what we'll, figure out where to go.
Yeah,
before,
we'll go somewhere. Look, we'll find somewhere outside Barclays nearby, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of, you know, there's plenty of places that we've ventured to before Islander games where there's a good crowd getting amped up for the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think it's pretty well covered. I'm pretty excited. We have to now, like, painfully wait 3 days, but you have playoff hockey starting on Wednesday, so that's only two nights away, including the Rangers at the Penguins at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
So
yeah,
you know, it all gets going, and
you have some great playoff series. Oh boy, you have some really just tremendous first round playoff series. I mean, you mentioned the Rangers, obviously, in Pittsburgh. I mean, that's going to be a very closely contested series. The Tampa Bay-Detroit series, I mean, that should go, I would think, go at least six games.
By the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, I heard that Fleury was back out on the ice skating. So, you know,
the news for Pittsburgh, bad news for the Rangers.
They were saying yesterday that Pittsburgh could be looking at starting their third string goalie in that series. So if Fleury can will himself back out there, what a huge difference that would make.
Yeah, and I guess Arthur Staple, I mentioned Mikhail Gabrovsky. It looks like Staple just sent out some information on him. He remained off the ice with no change in his status. It appears unlikely he'll play for the rest of the season. He's had concussion symptoms. He's had a lot of concussions in his career. So if Islander fans like myself were hoping that Grabowski would come back and maybe send Josh Bailey to the pine, well, no go. So unfortunate for him and for us as well, because I think, you know, despite his lack of production this year, I still like his game better than Josh Bailey's. And, you know, maybe Josh Bailey for once will actually step up in his career. And, you know, I don't know. I guess we can all hope. But, yeah, anybody's guess. But, yep, I mean, we'll see what the lineup will look come Thursday. You know, defenseman, goal. I mean, I think we can safely assume that Thomas Greiss will be getting the nod in goal. Question is, how long or short will his leash be? Does Jack have a decision if Greiss gets off to a shaky start? We'll see. You know, Berube, I guess we'll find out about his status. Is he going to be the backup, or will it be Christopher Gibson? Halak, I'm sure, won't be back in the series.
Right.
But, yeah, it should be a good series. You know, I think it also will be pretty closely contested. I don't think there's much separating these two teams as you know, the skinny pointed out. I mean, you know, Florida does have some older players. I mean, Jaromir, especially, you know, again, on the back-to-back, Jaromir Jagr, you know, 44 years old or 44 years young, right. I guess, from your perspective. And, you know, Luongo, I guess it was tweeted today that unless they play four overtimes, they'll be playing back-to-back games. But, you know, an older goalie that has a lot of mileage. I also wanted to mention special teams, that the Islanders' penalty kill this year, and we didn't really give them enough credit, I don't think, on the podcast, but, you know, finished fourth, and that was kind of skewered at the end of the season there. But, you know, if they can maintain what they did in a regular season penalty kill wise, and if they can score one power play goal, unlike last year where they scored zero power play goals against the Capitals
in the playoffs.
Yeah, zero. Yep, right. In the playoff series, seven games, zero. Count them, zero power play goals. Islanders' power play this year was 17th, so you know it was very inconsistent. The Florida Panthers
average.
Was 23rd.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Panthers were not much better, and their penalty kill was pretty below average as well, 24th. So I mean, all the stats say, and you know, you heard Mr. Hornick say it, and it just, you know, all the stats say that Florida may not be as good as their record indicates, but
right. But you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Oh, no, of course
here.
Not. No, of course.
Remember, of course not.
Look, it is the Islanders. They haven't won a playoff series in 23 years. So
it is the Islanders.
I don't think anybody, like you said, it could be. You know, it's a minimum of four games. Whatever your perspective is, pessimistic, optimistic, but
right.
Islander fans were used to applying the hipster doctrine, which is, you know, keeping expectations as low as possible as not to be let down.
I guess that's my role as the hip on the show, to keep the expectations in check as we try to get excited for these games. So I think as far as the show goes, just as a heads up here, you know, there's three games and four nights. I think we're going to come back with another show following game three. probably do it. We're going to be at the game Sunday night. I don't think we're going to do a show after the game, so likely Monday night. So look for a show to be posted maybe late Monday night, the 18th, to get you, you know, we'll get our first three-game reaction for the first three games. And game four will be Wednesday night, April 20th, again at Barclays. And who knows if it's going to be a 3-0, 2-1, which direction, we'll see. But we'll, in the meantime, we watch and enjoy some Islanders playoff hockey, yes.
Yes. Well, and when the mood was you know, a lot more dour and a little more doom and gloom from the hip and the lip, you know, when they were going through their really rough stretch there in you know, in March, and you know, were they going to make the playoffs? And like you said, you were just kind of sitting on pins and needles, or just, you know, hoping that they would make the playoffs, as opposed to, you know, worrying about positioning. And you know, look, they got in. They got a according to many Islander fans, at least anyway, a more favorable spot, getting the Atlantic Division there, the Atlantic Division winner in this round. And potentially, if they do advance and do something they haven't done since 93, they would play either Tampa or Detroit. And, you know, Detroit, at least Tampa's, you know, still banged up themselves. And, you know, Detroit, I guess, does not really scare anybody right now. And their goalie situation is still kind of out of sorts. So, I mean, I would expect Tampa will win that series. I think it would be Tampa Bay would be the probable second round opponent for the Islanders, despite the lack of Stamkos and Stroman over there. And, yeah, but in the Western Conference, I mean, hey, you got some great series there, too. And I'm looking forward to watching that Chicago's St. Louis series, which, you know, should be a tremendous series. Could be like a bloodbath in that series, along with L.A. and San Jose. I mean, that series was a bloodbath a couple of years ago. That amazing seven-game series that those two teams played. And I mean, Nashville Anaheim should be a tremendous series. And then you have the history there with the Dallas and Minnesota. You know, obviously Minnesota, the North Stars moving to Dallas, becoming the Dallas Stars, and so you have that historical context there. So you have some pretty exciting and what should be amazing playoff hockey to look forward to, Islanders and everybody else. And it'll all get underway on Wednesday, and then, of course, for your New York Islanders, we'll get underway on Thursday at 8 o'clock, right? Thursday's 8 o'clock?
That's right, 8 o'clock start. Right. New York listeners, you catch it on the local MSG probably.
MSG, you heard that.
Maybe MSG Plus, but it's not on, you know, one of the cable networks, the USAs or the CNBCs. You can watch Howie Rose and Butch Goring go at it again in the
and
first
Shannon
round.
Shannon
so.
And the whole crew.
That's right, and the Skinny himself. So
and Skinny himself.
We thank him again for coming on, and Hip in the Lip Nation, enjoy some playoff hockey. We'll catch you after game three, and hopefully we'll be saying a lot of yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes,
yes, yes.
Hopefully
yes.
A very jubilant Hip in the Lip with some yes, 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 yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. All right, say all right, bye. All right, bye.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.